Afternoon, good evening. What's good, everybody? Thank y'all for joining us tonight. This is Midnight Prayer Watch Live. I am your most humble host, Delta Williams, coming back at you one more again, prayerfully one more again. And tonight's prayer report, oh my goodness, tonight's prayer point. Y'all, this is something that I have been wrestling with for years. And maybe this is why the attack, but what I've been feeling in the spirit as I've been preparing specifically to just allow Holy Spirit to deliver this message through me is like, I'm talking about like back pain. I'm talking about throat constrictions. Anybody feel me out here? Hello, somebody that knows what real spiritual warfare feels like. Woo! We talking about social media. Isn't that ironic? Because aren't we on social media right now? And this is kind of what I was grappling with, was like, okay, definitely don't want this to be hypocritical. And there are people that are not, let's say, struggling with this or challenged by this at all, but this is just something that I feel like has to be said. And yeah, we're gonna use social media to blow social media up tonight. So who is with me tonight? Is social media using you? Whoo, I'm gonna just let that rest on your spirit as we get ready to go into intercessory prayer. And so, again, we appreciate those prayer requests that we have received, and we will uplift them during this prayer watch. And of course, thank you for any praise reports, because that is also something that we are absolutely receiving as well, and have been so humbled to hear about people's testimonies and people's just their faith, like producing fruit in their life. Oh my goodness, it's such a humbling thing. So I just want to thank everybody for allowing Midnight Prayer Watch, our team overall, to just walk with you in your journeys as we all walk together and work out this life. So let us approach the throne room as we get into intercessory prayer time tonight. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, for another Midnight Prayer Watch, time of intercession. We know, God, that this is just a time where you are calling us to be awake and to be watchful and to uplift our requests to you and to just be in community with you, Father. We thank you that the relationship that you want from us is not superficial, that the relationship that we have with you is not based on likes, it's not based on comments, it's not based on whether or not we are bringing our most photogenic self. Ooh, Lord, we thank you that at our dirtiest moment, that you still see us as your masterpiece. And that is such a freeing revelation, Lord. And we are so grateful that you who are above all, you who are sovereign, you who are the King of Kings, can look at us in that way and want to be with us in a relationship that's intimate and personal. And you know us, Father, so well. You know us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And you know how many hairs are on our head, Lord. We thank you that even your thoughts towards us number the number of grains of sand, Father God. Oh, innumerable. That you would think about us in that way, being Almighty God, Elohim. We just are so humbled, Father God. And we just ask you, Father, to prick our hearts this season. This is not an easy subject in this day and age, this generation, where everything seems to be based on our profiles, our resume, and even our likability. Oh, but Father, we know that there are things at work in the spirit that subvert and counteract anything that this world tries to use as validation or as approval metrics for us, Lord. And that there's nothing that you have called for us to do, that you have called for us to engage in, that is a measure of acceptability in your mind, in your eyes, Lord. You have already approved of us, and we are so grateful that you have given us that badge to wear, and our identity is based in you alone. And so, Father, we just are so humbled. We are so humbled that your righteousness is everlasting, that your mercy is everlasting, that you are a never changing God, and you are Lord of Lord, King of Kings, above every created thing, Lord. We are just so grateful, and that you will continue to keep us low, Father God, because it's not us that needs to be in front, but it's you that needs to be seen and shine through us so that others can see you in us. We just are so, we're so moved by your grace, Father. And we thank you for this time where we get to intercede with those that have uplifted their prayer requests to you. We thank you for this time of washing in your word and your truth, of edification. And I just declare an impartation to come down right now, that Ruach HaKodesh would just touch the hearts of those that are inclining their ear to hear, Father God. You said in your word that if we would draw closer to you, you draw closer to us. And we thank you that when you abide in us, we abide in you, you abide in us, rather, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we declare and decree that there's a new standard of acceptability that is washing us in the spirit, that there is a cleansing that is taking place, Father God, as we ask for your forgiveness, for seeking out the approvals, for seeking out the hearts and the likes and the gratification of others' popularity contests that we have unknowingly enrolled in. Father, we ask for your forgiveness now to help us, Father God, to be real about the things in which we are putting value in, be real about those things that we find meaningful in life that are based on superficial standards and structures, and to help us be free of those things. Father, release the chains, release the burdens, release the bondage that is created by man's version of who they want us to present ourselves to be, Lord. Tonight, we declare and decree that hearts are turning back to you and back to what you have said is our true identity, back to what you have said is our social proof, which only requires one stamp, which only requires one like, and it's already been given. There's nothing else that we need to do, Lord. So we are just grateful that there is no need for us to do any more work. Your approval is already in us. You called us the apple of your eye. You said we are accepted into the beloved. We are grafted in, and it is so, in Yahushua's name. And we thank you, Father, And I ask that you would just flow through this midnight prayer watch hour, that you would just take my tongue and let it be your words that will resonate in hearts tonight. Let it be your words that would remind people of their thoughts, that would convict them of those worldly thoughts and those worldly standards that they're comparing themselves against, that you would even take down any hardened hearts and make them soft, Lord, so that they would be pliable enough to receive your word this evening. And we ask these things in the precious, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. Whoa! Ooh. Yes. I don't know about y'all, but I feel Holy Spirit moving already. Already. He is going in tonight. He's coming after somebody tonight. And he is going to free somebody. I can feel it already. So what I have already been talking about this midnight prayer watch hour, and what may have been ruffling some feathers as we published what tonight's prayer watch has been about, is social media. Yes, we coming after social media on social media. Might be a little ironic and hypocritical, but I promise you, if you stay with me, you're going to catch what Holy Spirit has been, it has been really edifying me even in. And so as we continue to move into our prayer point tonight, I just want to give a quick disclaimer, let's call it that, because there's something that I feel like we have to share tonight that actually has been a production before. If anybody has ever heard of The Social Network, where there was a movie that was produced, some pretty good actors, I think this was the one that Justin Timberlake was in, and there was a documentary that was made after that show or that movie was produced on Netflix. And if you have not seen this documentary, it is good. It is really good. And it's not been out for maybe a couple years now, but this was even refreshing for me because I watched it when it first came out. And then as I was unpacking this prayer point, this is where I felt like just a snippet from the movie may help us really understand kind of what's happening here when you answer the question, is social media using you? So before we get into this little quick snippet of the movie, I just want to say really quickly, before I get banned on social media for going in on social media, the copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976, that we are able to play this clip because there is an allowance made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, education, and research. So YouTube, don't ban this YouTube stream. Okay, Facebook, don't hate on me again, because I already know y'all trying to do whatever in the background. So here we go. Y'all take a peek at this quick snippet, and wisdom listeners, tune in to the name of the documentary is called The Social Dilemma. So if you ever want to take a peek at that yourselves, this is just a quick snippet that I wanted everybody to take a peek at before we really start to unpack the prayer point.
Social media tools are designed to be addictive. The actual design, desired use case of these tools is that you fragment your attention as much as possible throughout your waking hours. That's how these tools are designed to use. Well, we have a growing amount of research which tells us that if you spend large portions of your day in a state of fragmented attention, so large portions of your day where you're constantly breaking up your attention, take a quick glance, do a just check, and just quickly look at Instagram, that this can permanently reduce your capacity for concentration. I'm especially worried about this when we look at the younger generation coming up, which is the most saturated in this technology.
It's very addictive because if you pull on the slot machine arm enough, you will win. And you never know which pull will reward you.
That's an addictive behavior, and it's dopamine that is driving that addiction. So what happens with social media is Robert Sapolsky, who did the foundational research on this at Stanford, calls it the magic of maybe. When you look at your phone and maybe there's a text there and maybe there's not, and you don't know, when it shows up, that high you get, that's dopamine. It's the magic of maybe. Maybe it'll be there, maybe it won't. When it shows up, you get a 400% spike in dopamine. That is roughly the same amount of dopamine as you're getting from cocaine, slightly less than an extremely addictive drug like cocaine. And that's what's happening. We really care what other people think of us. So for example, you know, when you upload a new photo, a new profile photo of yourself on Facebook, that's a moment where our mind is very vulnerable to knowing what other people think of my new profile photo. And so when we get new likes on our profile photo, Facebook, knowing this, could actually message me and say, oh, you have new likes on your profile photo. And it knows that we'll be vulnerable to that moment because we all really care about when we're tagged in a photo or when we have a new profile photo. And the thing is that they control the dial, the technology companies control the dial for when and how long your profile photo shows up on other people's news feeds. So they can orchestrate it so that other people more often end up liking your profile photo over a delayed period of time, for example, so that you end up having to more frequently come back and see what the new likes are.
And it's literally rewiring our brain. Even social media, the challenge is, you know, with these terms like Facebook depression and everything, because
what's that?
This is social media depression, because whereas everyone's looking at their feed and they're comparing their lives to other people, their highlights of other people's lives.
Wow.
And there's actually less life satisfaction, more sadness, depression, and stuff like that.
And it's interesting because if you think about things like things that, you know, routinely produce a lot of dopamine, alcohol, for example, there's a drinking age, right? We have a drinking age. Alcohol releases a whole lot of dopamine. It makes you feel really, really good. We say, okay, you can have that, but you've got to wait. You've got to be 21 years old. We don't do that with social media. We're, you know, essentially putting highly addictive drugs into the hands of kids before they have any natural defenses against them. And what you're seeing with internet addiction, with social media addiction, the same thing over and over. It's people trying to change their state of consciousness with a device, trying to get at the underlying neurochemical chemistry, and it's very, very addictive.
So I would say the problem with the gadgets, and I mean, they're amazing things, is that they approximately interfere with medium to long-term goals, I would say. And so I think the first thing you have to do to bring them under control is figure out what it is that their use is interfering with. It has to be something important. So you think, well, I want to do something important. What is that? Well, it could be personal. Maybe you want to have a relationship. You want to get married. You want to have kids. You want to have a career that's meaningful. You know, you want to have a life. You want to have an Abrahamic adventure and be the father of nations, let's say. Well, you can't be ratting away on your cell phone and doing that. And so I think part of it is to set your sights high and make a plan and figure out who you could be and see if obsessive utilization of smartphone fits into that vision of nobility. And it will hardly, because they're unbelievably powerful communication devices, but so often it's for lack of something better to do, and it also interferes.
We're gonna let that one simmer for a second. I hope that you get the chance to watch the rest of that really powerful documentary. As you heard and have seen, there is research today that is known about the effects of social media usage and how social media came on the scene. And it's pretty early on, right? You know, I think they talk about this bubble of technology and how within the span of 20 years, we went to from having a cell phone that didn't even have caller ID barely to having a computer in our pocket. So there's so much that is being unearthed in that research. And this documentary really helps us to see, even from a worldly perspective, how it affects us from our conscious state of mind, how social media is affecting us even from the chemistry of what's taking place in our bodies. Even when I heard that, when I watched this documentary and it talked about the dopamine hit, like, bruh, We out here addicted? What? I mean, like, that just blew my mind, because as one person that is trying not to be in the addict category in any level, any substance, any product, to say that we are still mimicking the same behaviors of an addict is like, oh my goodness. You know, it's just something that we have to make sure that we really understand. Our well intentions can be manipulated pretty much. And that is something that is happening today. I would just say, like, this is something that has to be a true heart work, a true heart searching that takes place in order for you to know, like, am I being used? And that was kind of where I wanted us to start with washing the word, and where I felt like just some information could help somebody really see, like, this isn't just a finger pointing at you and saying you need to get off of social media. This isn't that thing, right? This is truly a breakdown that's taking place in the way that we interact socially. So I wanted to start there, and then let's transition. As you already know, we're going to stay washed in the word tonight. And I wanted to really talk about this comparison thing that they brought up in that snippet of the documentary. And so on the screen, we have our base scripture for our prayer point tonight, 2 Corinthians 10:12. So this is Paul. He talking to the church of Corinth again, talking about what they dealing with. Okay, I know this church has got some stuff. They got challenges. They got stuff they got to get through. But he talking to them specifically about comparison. And this was something that when I was in a study, I was like, oh, I didn't even know this thing existed. Like, there was a scripture about comparison. But I'm not sure what is going on with this. But this is so, like, it's good because it addresses it head on. And it really gives us, you know, the instruction of the things that we need to be mindful of and things we need to do. So 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. We're talking about people that we just liken it to social media. That's like, I'm throwing my Ferrari out there in your face. Don't you wish you had this very attractive wife in your life? Don't you wish you had this bow on your arm when you went to Puerto Rico? You know, all that kind of stuff that happened. So back to scripture. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. And so it's very clear here, y'all. This is why I was like, oh my goodness, this has been in the scripture the whole time. Where have I been at? And I've been struggling with this thing for years, since like Facebook was a thing. But I mean, this is kind of where we're at, right? With the way that the world works underneath kind of a deceptive curtain where it's in your face, but it's not in your face. So as we're seeking truth, truth becomes clear to us. So what does that say? That says that we should not compare ourselves with the people that are trying to throw it in our faces, pretty much. Those people that are puffed up, those people that are trying to be haughty and stiff-necked. But if we do that, because, you know, we're all guilty of it, I'm included in that. I always say I'm not precluded from anything that we're unpacking. But that when we do that, we are not operating in wisdom, y'all. And I don't know about y'all, but I ask for wisdom because I ain't got it. I ain't got it. And I need it. Anybody out here feel me? Like, hello, somebody. I need it in my life. Woo, there are moments, there are seasons where you just like, I don't know which way to go. I don't know where to turn to. So this is something that we have to be operating under, because if we are truly seeking after and allowing Holy Spirit to operate inside of us and through us, then we want that wisdom. We have to make sure that we are not doing things that are not wise. It's just like, okay, this is what you're supposed to do. If you don't do it, then what you expect you're going to get. So that's the first thing I want to make sure that everybody understands, is that comparison equals no bueno. No bueno comparison, especially when it comes to, as they said, those people who are trying to put themselves out there, that are trying to make it seem like I got it and all this kind of stuff. So let me break it down, make it real. So when you see your favorite celebrity throwing in your face, oh, I went and had this $10,000 vacation in Bora Bora, and I got to swim with the dolphins, and, you know, I got to be able to eat this wonderful crab and lobster meal, and you can do it too. Or if you're not doing this, you're not living your best life. I mean, hashtag FOMO, all of this kind of stuff that's out there, right? If that is you and you get to this point where you're like, why am I not doing that, right? Now we're starting to go down the comparison lane, or you start to think about things and say, you know, I wish I could be like this person. And maybe it's not a celebrity. Maybe it's like a family member. Oh my goodness. Like, let's be real about these things. Like, some family members be on the sneak hating about your come up or your shine or your purpose in life. Look at the picture I got on the screen. Look at dude looking at the man sideways. Like, oh, I see you over there getting it in and plotting. Like, what does this do? What does comparison do? It does not yield positivity in our lives. What does it yield? And this is where we're going to get into the word. Comparison is yielding things that are not of the spirit. And the very first thing that we saw in the word where comparison showed its ugly head was with the very first murder that happened in the Bible. Y'all, we're going back. So I want us to take a peek at Cain and Abel. Y'all know this story. I know y'all know this story, because Cain and Abel was out here and they were obviously, you know, product of Adam and Eve. So we're talking about like the first sons of our mother and our father on earth. And when I think about that, I'm just like, ooh, this is interesting, kind of where this is going from. That the first thing that happened when after Adam and Eve fell and Eve conceived was a murder from her own children. I mean, is that touching somebody? Like, from her own children. So in Genesis chapter 4, and we're in verse 2. So this is the thing, like, we're talking about family members, y'all. This is crazy. So your family is out here comparing themselves to you. This is why the word is so important to be washed in, because this can happen. It may be happening for you. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, starting verse 2. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So Cain wanted that. He wanted that approval. He wanted that stamp, but he didn't get it. And Abel did. So what did he do? He started looking at his brother instead of looking at himself. So going on to verse 7, if thou doest well, oh, this is the Lord asking. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt not thou not be accepted? There's a lot of thous and stuff in here. So just pretty much the Lord is saying, what he said here is just like, if you're doing the right thing, won't it be accepted? Like, why is your face all to the ground? You know, why is your face twisted? And if thou doest not well, I'm struggling here with the doest, sin lieth at the door. So, if you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, your heart's not in the right posture, sin is waiting It's in wait, trying to pounce. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. So Cain went to Abel and told him what the Lord told him. And then what happened? And it came to pass when they were alone, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Y'all, if this does not help us understand that being in that spirit of comparison, being in that place where we are looking at others and wanting what they have, or comparing ourselves to the things that we have and looking down on ourselves because the thing that we're looking at is something that we're not at yet, or it's not, our business is not flourishing to that level yet, or our husband doesn't look that nice, it doesn't have that six-pack ab that we like yet, or our wife is not, you know, physically attractive the way she used to be, like this Instagram model that I see right now. Whoa, Holy Spirit, who are you touching tonight? Are we in that space right now where we understand that even entertaining those thoughts can lead us? It's already depicted in the word. It can lead us into things that end up in murder. I mean, it's that plain. Like, comparison creates jealousy. It creates strife. It creates envy. It creates all these terrible fruits. These are things that are not the fruits of the Holy Spirit. These are things where the flesh is starting to manifest. And we know that when that happens, oh, then a lot of times we end up in sin. And this is what happened. The Lord tried to told him. He tried to told Cain. He was like, listen, if you did right, then, you know, there's no reason why your face should be on the ground. But if you not doing right, then yeah, sin about to, you know, about to come and get you, or take over your heart rather in this case. So I think this is a good place for us to understand just the root of, like, generationally, how this has already started off with Adam and Eve's kids, that this is something that is innately in our DNA. That we want to compare, and that at some level you can see how even the way the word depicts it, like, okay, Cain was a tiller of the ground and Abel was a keeper of sheep. That's a comparison, but there was nothing wrong with that until Cain started looking at that and started lusting after what Abel had, or started comparing what he had to what Abel had. And then this is what happened to his brother. And then, of course, after that, we know, you know, there was a curse that was put on Cain and everything that, and his descendants and everything like that, because it was, you know, like it was pretty bad. But anybody that had done a study on this or that has done a study on this, that the blood was crying out to the Lord, the Abel's blood was crying out. So spillage of blood is nothing to be played with. But this is where I wanted us to really understand the beginnings of it. And then, as we have been seeing, like what Paul was saying to the church of Corinth, that was something too that we needed to make sure we understood, like, directly what was taking place. So now I want us to really understand, like, well, what do you do? What do you do now that you know, hey, I'm suffering from this? Hey, this is something that I really am not sure, like, how to get past this. What do I do at this point? And so this is where, of course, we know that Abba Father has the answers for us. So Galatians 1:10 is the verse, and it's just the first scripture that we have here on the screen. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So what he's saying, and in retrospect and starting to unpack, like, how do we get free from this, is understanding that questioning, who am I out here really seeking to please? Who am I capping for out here? Who is really the person I'm trying to get their attention about for this? Because if I am out here trying to please men, then am I really a father of Yahshua? That's pretty much what he's saying. Like, I should not be the servant of Christ. If I'm out here capping for other people, for created things too, I'm a created being, and all these other people out here are created beings too. We all came from the dust. Then how can I claim to be the servant of the one true Messiah? That's what he's saying. Like, I'm just putting it out there, y'all. This is what it is. So I have to be honest about my heart posture. Oh, how many times have we said that this season? I have to be honest about, what am I really doing this for? Who am I really capping for? Who am I really out here trying to get these likes, trying to get these shares, these comments, these subscriptions, whatever? Who is it that is out here? And even in the clip that we saw earlier in the watch, and we heard from the researchers that are doing this research on fragmented attention, like, what am I doing? Where's my time going? Where's my attention going to? What am I spending my days really producing by being on social media? And that's the question that is, it's not an assumption that everybody is in this lane. It's not an assumption to say, is social media using you? And we know it is. It's saying, are you being honest about that answer? Because there are some people that really understand how to manage their time on social, how to get to a point where they're not allowing the things that they see to seep into their consciousness or their psyche, to really just use it for educational purposes or for what it was well intended to be when it was created in the first place, when it was just, I just have information at my fingertips. But as we know, the enemy likes to pervert the things that are created, because the enemy is not a creator. You can only pervert things that were created. And now it's become a popularity contest where your judges are the whole world. How much of a burden is that? Like, you got to prove to the whole world that you're the cutest girl in the class. Now, the whole world gets to be on that panel. You have to prove to all of the football players in the world that you got the best time, the 40 time. Everybody. This is what's happening. This is what's happening to us. This is what's happening to our children, to the younger generation of kids or even young adults that have been raised in this time frame, where they all feel this burden. And this is why depression is becoming more prevalent these days, why suicide rates are increasing, why people are becoming more conscientious of how they look. And, you know, there's this thing called body dysmorphia, where even the things that I see in the mirror is not how I see myself. Like, come on, y'all. Like, let us really understand that this is not something that is a light subject. And when they use the terminology addict, that is definitely not anything that we need to take lightly. And so I wanted to make sure that we, and myself included in this, not precluded from this, that we are honest about this. Because I have to be like completely 100. Like, I'm in a place where I have to manage my time on social media, because I can easily and have easily fallen into the scrolling And next thing you know, it's like 2 hours. It's like, wait, what happened to the time? Or just like they said, that dopamine hit with a knowledge notification rather, with a pop-up or something. Like, I had turned notifications off my phone completely. No notifications from any app whatsoever, because I get to choose when I go into an app. I get to choose what I look at, when I see it, how long I see it. And even in that, it's like they have people that are what they call like social attention engineers that have studied the human brain and psychology to have you stay in the app. Once you get in the app, then you see someone specific. Like, I'm telling y'all, like the documentary is really, really good. And it really does give you insight into a world that we probably didn't know existed, and that people are truly trying to exercise an agenda over our minds. Like, they're literally saying they want our attention. Our attention is currency. And so if we know that, we know that even from a spiritual sense, that our focus should be on things above and not things of this earth. And we know that our attention is meaningful to those people, that we have to make sure that we guard our gates, that we are the ones that are using social media and not social media using us, because we want to be liked, because we want to compare ourselves, because we want to get the social clout, all the things that you can think of that is happening in your mind, but you may not even realize it. So as we are really starting to, I think, unpack this prayer point, let me know if this is something that we need to have continued conversation on. I just wanted to broach the subject with you all, because this is something that I felt led, like, years of this time where I've been like, oh, I got to get this together for myself. And I wanted to invite you in, Midnight Prayer Watchers, to understand that we're all working this out together. But before we get into our salvation prayer time, I just want to help someone just overall when it comes to just recognizing that maybe this is an area that you have been operating in and that you are not certain of yourself. This is something that I found to be very helpful. And I want us to pray together, this prayer specifically, before we open into our salvation prayer time. And this is a prayer against comparisons, that I did not put this together. This was something that I researched and found online, and I can definitely post the website because this was a great article that I found. But anybody that is feeling that tugging your heart, like, I have been that person. I have been looking at other people's lifestyles and wanting what they had, or judging my own lifestyle and my own worldly possessions and the things that I've been doing and putting myself down because of that. And that is something that it says in the word in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, that you shall bear your own fruit in your own season. So you can't bear nobody else's fruit, and they can't bear your fruit. And so let us pray this prayer together against comparisons, where if this is a time where you really want to just start, turn away from this, repent and turn away from this worldly way of thinking and operating, this is where we can start together. So, Abba, forgive me for looking for and longing for things outside of your will. Help me to love the life you have given me right now. Show me the things I overlook and ignore because I am comparing my blessings to others. Help me to be content with what I have and to find joy in the here and now. Excuse me, y'all. Forgive me for when I compare myself to others and I lose my focus on the good gifts you have given me. Help me to hold tight to my peace and joy. Secure in your love for me. You love me just as I am, and my joy is found in you alone. In Yahushua's name, we pray. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, y'all, I'm so happy that you are starting to feel the tugging and the conviction to do things differently. And if this is something that you want to just think about even before you recognize that maybe there's a level of repentance that needs to take place, then I just encourage you to get into your secret place. Get into that closet, get into that corner, go on that walk, wherever you go, and you find that you are the closest to Holy Spirit, to Abba Father, do that and ask him, like, am I truly operating in this? And this is where I know that somebody, captives are being set free, and that there's someone that Holy Spirit has said, this is something that has to be done in order to break that chain of comparison and bondage that the world is using, is coming for you. It's an agenda that is not meant for your good. I mean, the world, the research in the documentary already said it. It's not meant for your good. It's not meant to produce good. So we have to be free from this. And this is where Abba wants us to be free from, y'all. So if you are out here and you're like, okay, social media, I get it. I understand, you know, it's out here. It's a part of our life, whatever, what have you. But you don't know who this Jesus is that I've been talking about, or Yahushua, his Hebrew name that I've been saying. Then I want to invite you. This is our most important part of Midnight Prayer Watch Live. I want you to invite you to really take account of the things that are in your life, the things that you've done, the things that you have yourself operated in, and that you are ready to make a change. Invite you to examine yourself and really understand that this is the moment that he has created for you to repent, acknowledge him as your savior, and come into a new life, into a new creation with him as your savior. And so if you are ready to make that decision for your life, then we placed on the screen and we're going to recite with you our salvation prayer. So God, I come to you asking for forgiveness. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a savior. I believe you sent your son, Yahushua, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. And he was raised from the grave and is alive right now and coming again. I confess you as my Lord and personal Savior. Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. In your name I pray. Amen. So if you just prayed that prayer, we are so happy for you. The angels are rejoicing in heaven. We are excited. You are on your way, and we are just claiming and proclaiming your victory, as your name is written into the Lamb's Book of Life. And now you are on your way to doing things for the kingdom of heaven and for the one true living Messiah. So we are just humbled here at Midnight Prayer Watch to have an opportunity to just present the gospel, the good news that we are all sinners, but we have been saved if we believe and confess with our mouth and in our hearts that we need him. And he comes in and he does some reconstructing and some transforming. And we know that these things that we deal with in life, just like we've been talking about tonight, when it comes to comparison, when it comes to what is yielded from comparison, such as depression, such as anxiety, such as even suicide and suicidal thoughts, are not from him. And so if you are dealing with those things and facing any of those challenges, then we want to pray with you. We offer at Midnight Prayer Watch in our Prayer Watcher community resources for you to get connected with us. Resources to not just receive from us, but for us to connect you back to places that are healthy outlets, that are support systems that give you an opportunity to really strengthen your relationship. If you have a new relationship with the Lord, to understand how to walk in discipleship, how to walk in maybe even believing believer's baptism, and even how to start to address these areas where you need healing. Because if you have gone through any trauma, any traumatic experiences, then those things don't just go away. And they show up in so many different shapes and sizes, and they could be showing up in the place where you think the least it would show up, such as you spending all this time on social media wondering where your day went. So definitely we encourage you to get connected. We have a community, but there's so many communities out there where we definitely encourage you to just be in like-minded settings, equally yoked, and continuing to strengthen your bond with Abba is the main goal. So we know, prayer watchers, it is not easy out here. We know the Lord is working in hearts. We know that there's so many things that are vying for our attention. Even the news is vying for our attention. And I have to tell y'all, especially this past week with everything that's been going on in global conflict and potential wars and rumors of wars and things like that, we already talked about that. That's expected. It's the word clearly says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And so we shouldn't be surprised, nor should we be out here trying to gobble up all this news of this terrible stuff. And I just want you all to understand that you still have a decision, that you are the one that takes captive your thoughts and brings them into submission with Yahushua. You do that, and you choose what thoughts to entertain. You choose what attachments that you can make, and then you choose to break those attachments. So it's your decision. And so continue to stay connected to the source. He is the one that fights your battles. He is the one that says, stand back, hold your peace. I got this, okay? He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if anybody don't know, during those times, he was out there slaying them, okay? So that's the father I serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that utterly destroys my enemies. And so, Midnight Prayer Watchers, we thank y'all again for tuning in with us. Everybody, make sure you staying up. Make sure you staying alert this season. And don't forget to stay washed in the word, y'all.